Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Your ship has connected.
And you the man, the egg.
North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour satellite soiree. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tahoe to Tallahassee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
My, oh my. We're down to 2 days. Two shows featuring Mraz. Tomorrow is his final episode here on the DA show, the soiree, but it continues today with mystery guests. And now people are really coming out of the woodwork. We've got mystery guest one in hour number three. We've got mystery guest two in hour number four. And then a dueling mystery guest segment following that. Wow. Also this morning on the program, college football, Keaton Slovis, who is the new quarterback at BYU. He had a breakout freshman season at USC a couple of seasons ago, then transferred to Pitt and is now at BYU. He'll be under center to the season as the Cougars enter the Big 12. Keaton Slovis, who could be one of the big NFL quarterback prospects in April's draft, is going to join us here on the show coming up next hour. This hour, it's Soundcheck in 20 minutes, your best audio of the day. And in 40 minutes, did you see the Colorado Rockies scoreboard? Wowza!
She's a bad girl, David.
Also, it's a Thursday, which means it's a thirsty Thursday, which means we are toasting to the good stuff. Let's begin with college football and Northwestern. Because a couple of weeks ago, Northwestern made the dramatic pivot away from a two-week suspension for Pat Fitzgerald, their legendary player slash coach. And I say legendary because he certainly had the most success out of any coach in Northwestern program history and was also the most decorated player as well. Northwestern goes from a two-week suspension to firing him in the matter of 48 hours, because I think the streets got too hot and maybe more information brought to their attention. And with the accusations from the player who started this, the whistleblower, was that there was hazing rituals that included a sexual nature of some, nudity for some, and that it was institutional, it was widespread, and players were manhandled, groped, thrusted upon, embarrassed, what have you. And many people thought at the moment, well, might just be one whistleblower, so do you have to look with a side glare at that, including myself, considering the reputation of Pat Fitzgerald. You know, one player says one thing and there's years of other players looking at it a different way. You wonder, okay, Is this just one person's interpretation of it? Then, when we found out the returns on the investigation, the private investigation, at least some of the details, we didn't get all of them, it was 11 former players, current and former players, admitted there was some form of hazing. Okay, so now we drain a little bit more of the water and see a little bit more of the iceberg. And now you have an attorney collecting voices in players, and there were four players with a press conference yesterday, four former players whose identities are now public, speaking about it, saying that this was a real situation, that there was hazing and embarrassment and humiliation, and it had severe mental repercussions on the players, and now there's going to be a lawsuit, and we start seeing maybe a little bit more. So I wouldn't sit here and tell you that I could know or would know or will know the severity of this or the truth of this. Don't know. Don't know if we'll ever know the full truth of it. But I think it's important to remain open-minded about both sides. Either this could have really been damaging to a lot of young people, or that the coaching staff was unaware, or Pat Fitzgerald specifically was unaware that maybe the type of thing was happening. But my takeaway from yesterday's press conference with four former players, and now maybe more details or accusations or stories behind it, is that we went from a lot of people, almost everybody saying, I can't see Pat Fitzgerald overseeing this. High character, high quality individual, always did things the right way. You heard a lot of that. To now, is it possible that Fitzgerald's reputation is permanently tarnished? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
I applaud these young men for having the courage to come forward to say that we won't suffer in silence any further, and that we're going to try to say something so this won't happen to the next young person who's conflicted and nervous and confused when they're being hazed, or they're being forced to haze others, when they're being dry humped, when they're being made to simulate football activities in the nude, when they are being given alcohol even though they're underage. They're coming forward to say that enough is enough, the culture must stop, and we must make a more fair, inviting, and respectful community.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Okay, so that was civil rights attorney Ben Crump. And Crump says that 50 former Northwestern players have spoken to the law firm. And this is not just a football thing. This is across multiple sports. But Fitzgerald has been the face of Northwestern athletics for a while now, dating back to his playing days back in the 90s. He is one of the greatest players ever to play for the program, and then the most successful coach for the program. He's been part of that program for 25 years. So he is the one that stands to have the most to gain or the most to lose out of all of this. And my thinking has been, we've had former coaches here on the show, media members here on the show, discussing Fitzgerald. And again, there is a very common theme of high character, walk away saying that guy is a true professional, and all of these glowing things. And I wonder if somebody of such high character could really not know something that seems to be pretty debilitating for a lot of athletes was happening. And I do give coaches some grace. I think it is virtually impossible to know everything that happens all of the time within your program if you're overseeing a coaching staff of 30 to 50, that includes recruiting staff, et cetera, maybe more. And then you have all of these players as well, 100 players, and you were going from game planning to recruiting to coaching on game days to travel to banquets to donors to administration. There is a lot to handle, and I could understand not knowing everything that happens. And so to try to thread the needle, either people had Pat Fitzgerald pegged completely wrong, that this was a guy that didn't care or didn't care to know if his players were getting physically abused or embarrassed or humiliated or whatever. When people said he's got an open door policy, maybe he didn't, unless it was something that you knew was safe and that players didn't think that challenging the culture was safe to go to him for. But maybe also Pat Fitzgerald was a tough guy that came of age and played college football during a different time in the 90s. And it is possible that when you are that dominant as a personality and you're that powerful within an operation and you come from a certain culture, which in the 90s, I'm sure all of this stuff was far more rampant across the country, maybe you never think that it really was wrong. And that you kind of say the right things and you do the right things otherwise, but that maybe you never change your outlook or perspective. And that maybe if people complain, you're like, look, I dealt with this, we dealt with this, and I was better for it. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this, but I do think this is really interesting, because when it happened, everybody said this is so shocking because Pat Fitzgerald just... he never gave off the vibe of a guy that would be crude or overly dismissive of some player's problem or something like this. And now, the more that this snowball builds, the more that you see it wasn't just one whistleblower. There seems to be a lot of names attached to this, a lot of people that agree with this. And now, multiple players that are putting their personalities out there, their names out there, their identities out there, that are willing to say, I know I'm going to be a target and criticized, but no, this happened. So I really find this to be quite interesting, of something that people thought they knew about Fitzgerald or his program and the reality of it seemingly. And I would include myself, because I was originally very skeptical that first day when we had this news. But boy, this has picked up quite a lot of momentum. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We've done the Shohei watch now for a while, and ain't that something? The Angels come out of the All-Star break, and they've got a 2.5-week lead until they got to trade or keep Shohei. And the deal is, well, we'll see who they are with these 2.5 weeks. And they'll know whether they're a contender or not. And at that point in time is when they can decide what to do with Shohei. And more than likely, this is not a great Angels team, and they're going to run up against some good squads. And more than likely, they're going to learn that they're not that great, and they'll end up having to trade Shohei. And what happened? Well, they lost 2 of 3 from the Astros, but now have swept that team in the Bronx. And the last two games are 5-1-7-3. And the Astros are now a game over 500, just a pulse enough to make them feel like, we can't trade Ohtani. It's the perfect bear trap to have now walked into. Are we good now? Maybe we are good. We just swept the pinstripes, right? And the reality of it is, That team of the Bronx is terrible right now. Really, totally putrid and terrible. To the point where fans such as Mraz have given up on the season. It's over. On to football. We're done here. It's not even August. We are done here. And so it's not really a great gauge, but it still feels like it's something for the Angels. And so this is this awful in the middle dance where the Angels are like, well, if we're definitely not, send us a sign, God. Send us a sign. If we're definitely not good, we can trade Shohei. Oh, man. Well, if we're really good, we won't trade Shohei. And now you lose 2 of 3 to the Astros, but you sweep a bad team in the Bombers, and you're like, maybe we are good. Oh, I don't know. I don't think we're good. But next up, the Pirates, then the Tigers, and the Blue Jays before. They've got to decide what to do. What to do? Will you actually get a clear sign? I don't know. When we come back here on the program, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. And apparently, there was somebody asleep at the wheel here at the studios. Coming up next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
You can listen to the DA show across hundreds of affiliates nationwide, as well as Sirius XM channel 158. And you can stream us on your free apps. Use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. We begin with Bears quarterback Justin Fields on the All Things Covered podcast. Where would he rank in terms of rushing quarterbacks all time?
Being a historian of the game, watching the game, if you had to rank your top 5 quarterbacks in regards to running.
In regards to running?
Yeah. Right. And you can throw yourself in the list too.
Oh, I am. Because I definitely think I am.
Okay, so start with Justin. He's in the top 5.
I'm
running
definitely in the top 5. No order, but I got to go with my boy Mike Vick.
Yep.
Got to go with Cam. Lamar, of course.
Yeah.
Me, and then final, Steve Young.
Not a bad top 5, but Justin Fields isn't there yet. Mike Vick is clearly the number 1. Mike Vick is the greatest scrambling quarterback that's ever lived. Number 2 is actually Randall Cunningham. Cunningham created the prototype for a scrambling quarterback. Number 3 is Lamar Jackson. And Lamar might end up surpassing Randall. I don't think he can surpass Mike Vick because Vick at his peak was so fast and so undeniably electric with the ball in his hands that he could make everybody on the field miss. Justin Fields ain't nowhere close to those guys. Fields is good, but Fields is a very good modern scrambling quarterback. He is not an all-time great scrambling quarterback. Now I get you got to have confidence in yourself. Is Steve Young a top five? Young at his best may have been a top five all-time, but it's a little hard to quantify him versus the modern guy because, like, is Kyler Murray a better scrambling quarterback than Steve Young? Steve Young was known more as a scrambling quarterback because so few quarterbacks of that era were mobile like that. You had a lot of stationary pocket passers back in the 80s and 90s, so he stood out. Think about Troy Aikman. Aikman was the standard for a quarterback. He never moved like Steve Young. But Young compared to today, John Elway was a great scrambling quarterback, great mobile quarterback. Compared to today, you might consider Patrick Mahomes to be more mobile than John Elway and Steve Young were. So it's a tough one, but Fields is not a top five all time.
Well, and a couple of reasons. Number one, he's not even the top quarterback besides Lamar Jackson. Right now, Josh Allen is a better running quarterback than Justin Fields. I mean, that's the problem with Buffalo. They can't stop running Josh Allen because he's such a horse.
Yeah. Now, I would say probably that Fields is a little bit more elusive, but that Josh Allen's a little harder to bring down.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of games where on one of the best teams in football, Allen is the leading rusher, too, you know, on and part of the reason why they're that good. Secondly, if you want to argue against Fields now or Young, I mean, it seems weird because we trash it out. Cam Newton was awesome.
He brought up Cam there.
Oh, Cam was in the top five?
Yeah.
And I listened to the clip. Okay, I'll shut up now.
And Cam, I think, has to be in the top five, yeah, because Cam was powerful and strong and fast. NFL MVP. At his peak, yeah, Cam was one of the great running quarterbacks of all time. Here is Nick Saban at SEC Media Days. Any pregame music that gets him fired up?
Most players have a go-to song or artist that kind of get them locked into the game. I'm curious, what is on a Nick Saban pregame hype playlist for you?
I don't understand this question. Say that again.
What's like your go-to music choice? What are you listening to? What are you and Terry listening to?
Next question.
Well, you know, I don't really listen to music before the game. You know, we always play Gimme Shelter going home, you know, after the game. But I don't listen to music before the game. I'm kind of thinking about, you know, have we covered everything we need to cover?
That's amazing. Did I hear probably the Alabama SID in the background say next question?
Yep.
Next question.
Well, you know, I don't really listen to music.
I mean, is that daunting of a question? Is it that silly? It's preseason. It's July. We're not allowed to ask Nick Saban if he has something that he listens to. Now, maybe you know you're not going to get an answer that's really all that interesting, but hearing Nick Saban kind of describe how uninteresting he is kind of interesting. I don't mind that question. I don't mind it at all. And the idea that he needs to be protected from that line of questioning is pretty silly.
You know what that is? That's a burned out SID who's dealt with this for many years with Saban and how he is.
That Saban can't really play along.
Right.
Saban doesn't know how to play along.
He also said that carrot cake's the best cake yesterday. Did I see that?
And that's the other thing. Saban has started to get a little bit sillier in recent years. And he does that, doesn't crack a smile, doesn't show any personality, but kind of in a very dry tone, does say something that he knows is going to be kind of funny. I mean, he was talking about his grandma baking cakes when he was asked yesterday about who's going to be the starting quarterback and when are they going to be named. And he's like, well, I remember Grandma Saban used to make the most delicious cakes ever. I was there in front of the oven and I was waiting for that cake to come out and Grandma said I can't take out that cake till it was all done or else it's gonna be just a bunch of mush. So he knows that those things are funny. He knows this.
Yeah, he does. But isn't he a little deprived if his grandma's baking carrot cakes and he's fooled into thinking those are the best cakes?
Well, carrot cake is not good.
Yeah. And by the way, at best it's fine. At best.
Look, I'm gonna side on the thick taters line of in the sand here. If I've got a cake to eat, the carrot one is the least appetizing, enticing one out there. Could it be a good carrot cake for carrot cake? Sure, it could be moist. It could taste relatively sweet. It could be fine. But if I'm eating cake, if I'm going to do the cake thing, the last cake I want is the vegetable cake.
No doubt about it.
The last cake I want is the fruit cake or the carrot cake.
It basically tastes like horse food ground up amongst fluff.
All right, relax. Relax. It's not terrible. Come on. I like carrot cake. That's personally one of my favorites.
That's not surprising.
I'll shut up.
This is how carrot cake goes. You're like, oh, yes, cake. Oh, it's carrot cake. All right, I'll eat it. Okay, it's not that bad. I don't need it again.
No, if you go to a birthday party and that white box pops open and you see that little carrot emblem on the white icing, there's an immediate this from the crowd. Oh.
Carrot cake can only be a cake at Thanksgiving or some type of holiday dinner where there are other desserts available because it can never be the central dessert.
I feel like it's a popular, like, luncheon dessert.
Luncheon?
Yeah, if you like go to like a lunch, you know, like a like a speaking engagement or like
and the personal the personalized slices that each have their own carrot paint.
Good one.
I mean, like, it's
good
too
one.
Heavy for like a real cake with fondant and all this, like, you know, crazy fillings. So here's carrot cake. It's like brunch, the brunch of desserts.
Also, how arrogant is carrot cake that we constantly need to be reminded that it is a carrot cake? Like, we don't just, I don't know, explode a line of chocolate on top of chocolate to make everybody know. Like, you have to have the painted on carrot on every piece or every carrot cake. It's kind of like Prince being the symbol.
I'm not a cake guy by trade. I'm a cookie guy by trade.
Me
or
too.
A pie guy by trade. But if I'm going to do a cake and I see the carrot cake, I'm like, move on. It's just...
Okay. All right, relax, guys.
I'll save the calories.
Relax.
I mean, yeah, if I want something sweet after lunch or after dinner, which certainly happens quite a bit, and there's chocolate chip cookie, there's blueberry pie, there's chocolate cake, and then there's carrot cake, it would be anything else besides the carrot cake. The only time I would indulge in carrot cake is if it's the only dessert option.
Sometimes even then, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to make a conscious effort to save the calories.
I'll get a Frosty on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Are we missing anything with carrot cake? Did it serve a purpose?
No.
This is a real question.
Carrot cake, enough.
Does it serve a purpose for like allergies or anything like that?
No. Some people like it, all right? Relax.
I'm asking an honest question here, Pete.
Isn't Dave Matthews doing another encore?
Hey, 3 hours is enough last night.
Relax.
I need a break.
Dave Matthews.
If there was ever a topic I would guarantee took place like this, it would be Pete being the lone defender, emotionally so, of carrot cake.
I'm sorry. I don't want to get diabetes eating dessert.
See, that's what I was asking.
No, but this is where he's fooled. This is like me thinking oatmeal raisin cookies are healthy. Carrot cake is not healthy.
No, I don't like an overwhelming chocolate cake for the dessert.
That's just me.
I think carrot cake's light. It's something that's nice. I could pair with something else.
Pete's the guy that argues with the baker about where all the mince pie is ahead of Thanksgiving.
To be fair, I just quickly Googled calorie count in chocolate cake or carrot cake. Carrot cake, 118 calories per slice. Chocolate cake, 352. So nearly triple.
Well, and you know that 352 is what they slice should be. It's not the slice that they serve you. So you're definitely getting 700 calories in the slice that's dropped on your plate.
That's right.
Thank you.
Finally, third clip comes to us from the After Hour show with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy and her producer, James Boccioni, discussing a fellow employee that might be asleep at the wheel.
Did I not stand outside the control room? I wasn't here in studio, but I was standing in the hallway next to the control room, and I was signaling to you. I was speaking quietly, even though the control room was supposed to be soundproof. I'm signaling to you to come look, because one of the other producers was asleep in the control room. He was asleep. No, he was. I could see that his eyes were closed from when I was here in the studio and then I walked out to say, JJ, come look. His feet were up. First of all, his shoes were off. What have I said to you about your shoes off in the control room?
Well, actually, I didn't know that fact, and I'm...
Yeah, his shoes were off. His stocking feet were up where your hands are right now.
That's great. That's good.
His stocking feet were up on the control console.
Nice.
You better wash your hands. And he was leaning back, way back in another chair. And he was in the middle of an opening segment. Presumably, it wasn't actually the regular host. Oh, now I'm narrowing it down. It was a fill-in host. I'm not sure if the fill-in host put him to sleep. I'm not making any accusations. Only that it appears he had fallen asleep on the job.
Oh, my goodness. What is happening around here? What is happening?
I blame Mraz for Feet Up Friday.
Yeah.
Amy comes on overnights, so she follows the JR Sport Brief. So what we are saying, and JR is usually doing it from Atlanta. Our studios are here in the Big Apple. So what we're saying is there was a fill-in host for JR, and the producer on the other side of the glass kicked off their shoes, propped up their feet on the control board, leaned back and fell asleep while running the show? While literally pressing the buttons to get the person on the air?
It should be noted that James Pacioni kept, maybe he was trying to defend this person, kept saying, no, they were lounging, not sleeping. And Amy was hammering home, no, they were sleeping.
I don't care. Shoes are off. Feet are on the control board.
You can't do that.
You want to know who the host was?
Yes. Don't say it's Jody. Don't tell me it's Jody.
It was Jody.
Oh, the disrespect. The disrespect.
Oh, I hope he was awake to call Flatter.
That's awful.
The shoes off is unacceptable.
That's you can't put your feet up on that board.
Hump.
And then take your shoes off and put your feet up on anything. Desk, board, cubicle. Well, what type of heathens do we have working here?
On your back. It's like embarrassing. You're at work. You should never take your shoes off. You should never put your feet up. I don't care if there's a backup host. Have a little respect for your work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pete, my assumption is you didn't hire this person, right?
No.
Okay.
The best part about this was that as we're playing the clip, Pete immediately pivots to his schedule computer and starts looking at who was on the schedule last night.
I went right to the clicking.
I'm going to say something really, maybe potentially weird here.
No, it wasn't Shep. No. Shep would not be disrespectful like that.
Unless Shep was angry that he wasn't filling in for JR.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit of a... It wasn't disrespect at Jody.
No.
It was disrespect at the machine.
Don't tell me this. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me this. I've had Shep's back for months, if not years now. I have made a complete 180, and I go to bat for Shep every time I can. I love the guy. Don't tell me that he kicked off his shoes and put it up on a board during a Jody Mac show and lounged with his shoes off on a control panel. Ooh. Don't tell me that. I don't want to believe that. Don't tell me that. Don't smear his good name.
I'm not naming names, and I'm not pointing fingers because I didn't witness it. All we were doing is playing back a clip of Amy and James talking about it. All I will tell you is Jody was the only non-full-time employee working on certain shows before Amy's last night.
Hmm.
Certain shows before Amy's. Well, there is only one show before Amy's show. There's a very particular show that airs.
Well, Gelb and Hickey were in last night. I'm just saying, if you took the night full-time crew.
Right, all the regulars.
All the regulars were there except for JR was out and Jody Mac was in. So
and Zach wouldn't be in the studio sleeping.
Yeah.
In that studio sleeping.
Well, Zach wouldn't be over there.
Right.
Hickey would be over
there.
Yeah. What the hell did you just say to me?
Yeah, maybe some people were annoyed that Jody was hosting and not them. I don't know.
I should remember that move in case Pete named the PGP host.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Soundcheck brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Soundcheck brought to you by Wesley Financial. Andrew Bogusch is a kind sir. He's got our headlines.
DA, we are global this morning. Mm. The Women's World Cup is underway down under, and co-host New Zealand has its first ever win in the tourney. Winless in their first five appearances, they surprised Norway in today's opener 1-0, as they say. It is right now, 36 minutes.
Why is that always funny?
I don't know. Australia and Ireland are scoreless. We also have some men playing the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. It's the 151st Open Championship.
That's funny too.
Thomas Peters and a gentleman named Christo Lamprey share the lead at 4 under par. Both are deep in their opening rounds. Matthew Jordan is in the clubhouse, a 2 under for him to begin his tournament.
How about that?
Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm tee off at 9:59 Eastern. Phil Mickelson 22 minutes later. Back here stateside, the place Braves are slumping.
The 0-2 pitch, that's hit down the left field line. One run's going to score. Carroll right behind McCarthy, and now Walker giving the stop sign at third. It's a 2-run double for Gurriel, and it's 3-1 Diamondbacks.
As heard on D-backs radio, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. putting Arizona on top for good in Atlanta. They won 5-3, extending the Braves' skid to 4. Uh-oh. Charlie Morton took the L.
Losing and getting pushed around a little bit is beneficial, albeit you don't want to have to experience that.
Shut
you don't
up.
Have to lose games, but I think that with the right group, and I think we have the right group, it just becomes motivation.
Was that quote "getting pushed around is beneficial"?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's, you need, along the way, you need a losing streak to learn a few lessons.
Yeah, that's what we all say.
Not terrible, you know, in terms of the grand scheme of things. But getting pushed around is a little different than just losing games. Getting bullied is always very beneficial.
The Braves are still comfortable. 9.5 games clear of the Phillies, who took a 5-3 home loss from the Brewers last night. But that blue and orange team from east of Jersey is now just 16.5 games behind Atlanta after winning its third in a row, 5-1 over the White Sox. Mm. Justin Verlander allowed that one run on 3 hits with 7 Ks over 8. The Giants' 7-game win streak ending with a 3-2 loss in Cincinnati. The Twins got a 6-3 win in Seattle, and the Padres blanked the Blue Jays in Toronto 2-0. San Diego has won 8 of 12. The team that Aaron Rodgers plays quarterback for is reportedly trading wideout Denzel Mims to the Lions for a 2025 conditional 6th-round pick. And Arsenal pushed around the MLS All-Stars in D.C. 5-0. It is the worst loss for Messi's new friends in this format against teams from other leagues.
Ooh.
D.A., back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When do we come back here on the show? Anybody see that Rockies scoreboard malfunction yesterday? Or was it? Dum, dum, dum. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
UNCBS, you're looking.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And this portion of the show, sponsored by the United States Postal Service, introducing USPS Ground Advantage, reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping, the United States Postal Service. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The final episode of the PGP featuring Mraz in a full-time capacity is available right now. All places that you get your podcasts. The PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, is the podcast about the radio show. Download it now. Well, we had an interesting moment yesterday. I think this was yesterday. When the Colorado Rockies scoreboard flashed, I think this was before the game, a very odd message. Okay? Here is what the video board said. Was this before the game here, guys? This was...
I thought it was in-game, but I'll double-check that.
Oh, no, you're right. It was during Wednesday afternoon's game. This is yesterday afternoon during the game against the Astros. Game notes. Using a stethoscope to listen to the heart, cardiologists can detect narrow valves, valve leakage, and or abnormal rhythm. Now that's a first part of the middle of a game on the scoreboard that would seem somewhat odd. But then the second part, which I think dovetails into the first. It read this on the Rocky scoreboard, and it said, Colorado Rockies game notes. Don't bother asking him to check your heart, though, Becky. That crushed Titanic sub has more life inside it than that collapsed troll cave you call a chest cavity.
That's unbelievable.
What? Now imagine being at Rockies Astros during a Wednesday matinee, Rockies Astros matinee in July. Wednesday matinee, you've got a hot dog, you've got a beer, you're watching Rockies Astros, and then on the Jumbotron flashes Rockies game notes. Using a stethoscope to listen to the heart, cardiologists could detect narrow valves, valve leakage, and/or abnormal rhythm. But don't bother asking him to check your heart, Becky. That crushed Titanic sub has more life inside it than the collapsed troll cave you call a chest cavity. You would begin, I would imagine, choking on the beer or the hot dog. What is that? Now, do we think that the scoreboard operator, like many places, takes lovey-dovey messages, birthday wishes, corporate outing messages, and has flashed them on the scoreboard and got this sent to him or her and was like, you know what? I'm going to run with it. Or did the scoreboard operator recently get broken up with by Becky and is like, I'm a miserable human being right now and I'm taking out on her, out on her bottom of the sixth.
Well, so I think it's more likely number two than number one, but I have an alternate theory.
Okay.
The reason I don't think it's number one is the game notes portion on the top, because it's very evident they're not doing birthday wishes or well wishes, and he ran with it as a joke. He or she ran with it as a joke.
True.
So number two seems possible, like I'm going to take a run at Becky here. Or number three is whatever computer system they have up, whatever group chat kind of app, you can take off your phone and have it up on a screen instead of checking your phone constantly. And I wonder if it was one of those, like somebody maybe not paying attention to a show, ended up typing that in the wrong chat bar, hit enter, and it popped up.
So the responses to this of people at the game taking photos of it were tremendous. In fact, one user tweeted this and said, Becky wrecked this person. My goodness. And, quote, what did Becky do? And Becky knows what she did. And everybody's going in on Becky. But here's something else. After that message, there was another game notes. And here was the next set of Rockies game notes. Most Coloradans experience sweater weather up to 6 months a year, starting in early September, except my ex-girlfriend, who probably needs a cardigan year-round because of her ice cube of a heart.
Okay.
Seriously, yes. Becky, your insides are so frozen. At this point, you should just change your name to Elsa.
All right, that's somebody going for it. That adds more context.
Yes, this is someone that's very bitter.
There was a tweet, whoever runs the scoreboard at Coors Field right now is not okay.
Needs a hug.
So. I would say so.
That's unbelievably amazing. I almost wonder if the Colorado Rockies, like, game ops staff had a fantasy football league and the loser had to do this on a random matinee in the afternoon. Like that kind of payoff.
I have to imagine that the Rockies are not happy with this, that the scoreboard operator can't just get away with this. This is a little bit like a board operator around here taking off his or her shoes and putting their feet up on the board and falling asleep during the shift. This is really going rogue. And while it's entertaining for us, I don't think the Rockies want personalized breakups of their game ops staff on the scoreboard.
You know what? The team stinks and people are having a good laugh talking about the Rockies marketing-wise. Maybe this sells a couple Rockies caps. Maybe they do like it.
The sad part is when you see the picture of this, it's out in left field, and so there's all the bleachers below it. And I thought this might be pregame because there's so few people in the stands. So it's just a dreadful late season matinee game for a bad team. Nobody out there. And then here's a brokenhearted scoreboard op just trying to get back at his ex. Good times in Denver. Good times.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.